If you have your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17. Now, the words will be on the screen as well if you want to follow along there. Luke 17, we're going to read verses 11 through 19. Luke 17. This is the story of 10 men who were healed by Jesus, and only one came back to thank him. And so today we're going to talk about, are you a 10 percenter? Because out of those 10 people, only that one person, that one 10 percenter, came back to thank Jesus. So Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. I'm going to read it off the screen myself, I believe. Do we have those verses up on the screen? Yep. All right. So you can just follow along. It says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. Now, you have to keep in mind that there was ill blood between the Israelites and the Samaritans. They considered the Samaritans to be sub below them. Okay, the next part of the verse says this. It says, as he entered a village, there 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Let's keep going. Jesus looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. So he said, go to, and I'll explain in a minute what that means about going to see the priest. All right, let's go ahead. It says, and one of them, just one, 10% out of the 10, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man, interesting, was a Samaritan. And so we want to talk today about the 10 people that Jesus healed. Only 10% came back. And are you a 10 percenter? Are you going to be the person as a believer or follower of Christ that comes back and says thank you? You see, the Samaritans, as a city went through Samaria, they were considered half-breeds by the Jewish people of that part of the country. There were the northern Jews who had never had a good king, who worshipped idols and intermarried. They were looked down upon by the Jews. They were never good enough. So out of all the people to return and give Jesus thank you, it was a Samaritan. It was a Samaritan that came back to thank him. So it talks about, as he entered the village, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, have mercy on us. Now, leprosy is a horrible, horrible disease. And I'm sure you may have read about it or heard about it, but it begins to, I think I actually have a picture of somebody with leprosy in today's culture. You can see it just, it's a terrible, terrible disease. You lose your fingers, your toes, your skin begins to rot and fall off. And then you're separated from your family. The reason they were out there by themselves was once you got leprosy, you had to come out and be separated from your family and kind of live together. All the lepers lived together there. And just a horrible, horrible disease. And just think about the emotional pain of being separated, having to leave your family and live out there with other lepers. That would be tough. And so you could only live with others who had a similar skin disease. They were kind of quarantined together. And they were not allowed to have contact with any other people because the disease was highly, highly contagious. So here's these lepers. They're out there. They're quarantined together, suffering this terrible, terrible illness. And Jesus comes along, or they approach Jesus, and they say, would you heal us? Would you heal us? And so they were not allowed to have any contact with any other people. And a matter of fact, if someone came by, got too close to them, they would have to call out, unclean, unclean. Like if you got too close to their camp, they would have to call out, unclean, unclean, to warn you that they were lepers and that you needed to stay a distance away. Well, he told the lepers, he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, why would he tell them to go to the priest? Because in that day, in that time, the priests were the ones that decided a person that had leprosy had to be quarantined. Or if they had gotten over it and been healed, that's the person that would allow them to be brought back into society. So Jesus said, okay, go to the priest, because by the time you get there, you're going to be healed. And the priest is going to give you the okay to go back out into society. So they took off. Can you imagine being healed of leprosy? Can you imagine how excited you would be, how pumped up you would be? You'd be really excited. But only one came back to tell Jesus, thank you. Only one. Only one. And so are you going to be that one person that comes back and says, Jesus, thank you for everything you've done for me? Well, for me. And so he fell to Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan, and it was not too late. And Jesus asked this question. Jesus said, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9 at? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. And so today I wonder, as God looks down and he looks for people that will be thankful, Are you that person? Are you that 10%? Are you that one person that would remember to go back and thank Jesus? So I want to share with you today just three things that we should be thankful for. If you want to be a 10%er, you want to be that one person that goes back and thanks Jesus, there's three things I want to talk to you about today just for a few minutes. First one is blessings. Are you thankful for God's blessings? We are a blessed, blessed people, aren't we? And many times we take it for granted. We take it for granted. We got up this morning, the power was on. We had fresh water. You go to other parts of the world and they don't have that, right? I was in South Africa a couple months ago speaking there, and we were in Johannesburg. If you ever go there, they call Johannesburg Joburg. That's kind of the short way to say Johannesburg is just Joburg. So I was in Joburg, and I took a tour through this area where there's just thousands and thousands of people living in these little huts. I mean, basically just two pieces of aluminum up there and just a little roof, a wood roof on it. Just thousands of them living there. No facilities to go to the restroom. No clean water. I just thought, man, we are blessed in America. Here we are complaining about things, and we have nothing to complain about. Amen? We are a blessed, blessed people. So don't forget that you are blessed. You know, there's nothing that you've done that Jesus can't forgive. There's no abuse that scarred you so badly that Jesus won't touch you. Jesus is willing to lovingly touch you and hold you and restore you. No sin has made you unlovable. Jesus is willing to call you his friend and stand beside you. It was his death that paid for your sin. And so they had gone through this and Jesus had healed them. You know, I want to encourage you to think about God's blessings. Sometime before this year is up, get by yourself and begin to make a list of things you are blessed for. And write that list out. Don't take for granted God's blessings. Be a 10%er that says, Jesus, thank you for your blessings upon my life. Remember how you were before you met Jesus. And thank him for coming and restoring you and forgiving you. I like to do this thing called prayer triggers. And so what it is, you just in your mind, you make up something that if every time I maybe get in my car, that's going to be a trigger to remind me to thank Jesus for his blessings upon my life. Or maybe you have a certain room in your house and you're going to say to yourself, you know what, every time I go in that room, I'm going to just pause for a minute and thank God for his blessings upon my life. And so if you'll set those prayer triggers, it'll be a reminder just a few times during the day to stop and say, I'm going to be a 10%er. I'm going to tell Jesus, thank you for his blessings, and use that trigger to help you do that. But remember where you were at. Here's the second thing, blessings. Be thankful for the blessings. And then this is going to seem odd, but thank him for the burdens. Can you thank him for the burdens? Some of you right now are going through some really hard stuff. And you're like, what can I thank God for that? This burden that I'm carrying, this load that I'm carrying, this rough time I'm going through, how can I thank God for that? You know, it says in Romans 8:28. I think we have that verse. We have Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now notice it doesn't say all things are good. Having cancer is not a good thing. But what he's saying is I can take even cancer that you're going through and something good is going to come out of it. It may be your nurse that you're able to share your faith with when you're going through that. Or it may be God uses that to bring a family member back to God. But you've got to be thankful for the things he's given to you. Something good is going to come from it. No matter what burden you have, God's going to take it and use it some way to bring a blessing on people. There's a guy named Nick V is who I call him. I'm sorry, his last name's hard to say, but you may have heard his story before. I want to show you a quick video clip. You may be today coming here saying, you know, I got some burdens. Man, I just don't see how I can thank God for what I'm going through right now. But I think after you see him, you'll see that you can thank God for his burdens no matter how seemingly horrible they are. So let's play that clip of Nick here for just a few minutes. We don't have much to complain about, do we? We're blessed. I've had the privilege of hearing Nick speak in person. I'm always amazed that here's a guy that has this disability, but he uses it for God's glory. And so I want you today to realize, be thankful. That burden you're going through, if you'll be thankful, God will do something good from it. Was it a good thing that Nick had no arms and legs? No. But God used that for something good to happen because he thanked him for that. So thank God for his blessings and thank God for his burdens that he allows us to go through, even though it's not, it's painful. Thank him for that. And here's the third and the final thing is this. We need to be thankful for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Have you ever been to a restaurant before and you ordered your food, and then when you got ready to leave, the waiter said, your bill's already been paid for. Your bill's already been paid for. Someone, your friend, was in the restaurant. You didn't know they were here, but they paid your bill for you. It makes you feel good inside. Or you've had something like before. I've been up to a toll booth before in cars. You know how you go through the toll booth? And I get up there, and they say, the car in front of you just paid your toll for you. I'm like, wow, that's incredible. It's awesome when someone pays our bill for us. And here's what I want you to understand. The Bible says that Jesus has paid your sin bill for you. He died on the cross, and he paid your sin bill there on the cross. It says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Jesus has paid your sin bill. It was a bill that was too big for you to pay, but he paid it by dying on the cross. He took all your sins. He was on the cross. He took all your sins, and he placed them upon himself, and he was punished, and he was bruised for our sins. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ, who had never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This verse says Jesus, who had no sin at all, he paid for your sins on the cross. When Jesus was dying on the cross, was he dying for his sins? No, he didn't have any. He was dying for your sins and my sins there on the cross. And man, we need to remember that. And all throughout the year, say, Jesus, I'm thankful for your blood that you shed to pay for my sins. The story is told of two brothers. They were identical twins that lived in China. And one of the brothers was getting involved in some drugs and some gangs and things. And one night, one of the twins, he was at a bar somewhere, and he got into an argument with a guy, and they spilled out into the parking area, and they got in a fight, and this guy, he killed this man. He got blood all over his shirt from the fight, and he ran back home, and he took off all those bloody clothes and threw them in the wastebasket and went off to hide somewhere. Well, his twin brother came home that loved him so much. He came home, and he got to seeing blood drops in the house, and it followed it over to that basket, and he realized his brother had murdered someone. But this young man, this identical twin, he loved his brother so much that you know what he did? He took those bloody clothes out of that basket. He put them on, and the police came after just a little while knocking on the door looking for this killer, and they saw him, and he said, I'm the one that did it. Again, identical twins, I'm the one that killed him. So they took him off. They had his trial, and they found out that he was going to be executed. His brother, who had actually done the crime, who was hiding up in the mountains, word got to him that his brother was going to be executed for his crime. And so he tried to intervene, and he went to the city, but it was too late. His brother had already been executed for his sins. And he told the people, listen, I'm the one that did this. It wasn't my brother. And they said, the debt's already been paid. You're free to go. And that's what Jesus did for us. We've sinned. We owe this sin bill. We owe to stand before the judge. But Jesus comes and says, you know what, I've paid for your sins for you if you'll just accept me as your Savior. Jesus said in verse 19, he told the 10%er to get up and go tell people. Get up and go tell people. And when we have been forgiven by Christ, we need to go out and tell the world about it. You know, you're saved by faith, the Bible says. And a good acronym for faith is this: forsaking all, I trust him. I remember when my oldest son, he's 6'5 now, so this wouldn't work now, but when he was about 2 or 3 years old, I'd put him up on top of the refrigerator and say, jump to me, jump. And at first, he'd be a little bit nervous. He kind of act like he was going to jump, but then after a while, he would jump out, and I would catch him. Now, when he was jumping out, that was faith, right? He was putting his faith in me to catch him, and that's what faith is trusting. And you're trusting Jesus as your Savior. You're trusting Jesus as your forgiver, as your friend, as your leader. And so Jesus told the man, go and tell, go and share. And what a blessing we have. So I want to encourage you this Christmas season, next year even, to be thankful for what God's done for you and go and share that with other people. Share it with other people. There's a story of a king who needed a successor. He and his wife had tried to have kids for years and years. They couldn't have kids. And he was getting older, and he said, I've got to have a heir for my throne. And so he said, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to find a little boy, and I'm going to name him the heir for my kingdom. And so he got in his carriage, and he got there, and he began to go through the city, very poor city where he ruled. But he noticed a little boy, just a little boy, playing in the mud with just some sticks. That was his toys. That was all he could afford, was just sticks. He was playing in the ditch there. And that big, nice chariot pulled up there. They opened the door. They laid down the thing so the king's feet wouldn't get muddy. And he stepped off there. And he asked the little boy his name. And he said, "Hey, you know what? I'm looking for a boy that I can adopt, that can come to my palace and live with me. And I'll train you. I'll teach you. And one day you will be the ruler of this kingdom. Are you interested in that?" And the little boy, he was embarrassed because of his old ratty clothes he had on and mud all over him and playing in the mud. And he said, yes, sir, I'd love that more than anything else in the world." And the guy said, "Well, we got to ask your parents if that's okay." And he said, "Well, I'm a foster kid. My people I'm staying with are right over here. I've just gone from house to house to house all my life. Didn't really have a parent, but I'm staying with these people right now." And so he said, let's go talk to him. And so they drove over to the house where the little boy was being raised as a foster kid. And the parents came to the door, and he said, "I'm the king. And I'm looking for a heir for my throne. And I saw your little guy that you're watching. I think he's the one. Would you allow him to come to the palace with me?" And of course they said yes. So that old boy that day, he was embarrassed. His clothes were muddy and ragged. He was embarrassed to get up in the chariot with the king. But the king said, "Get on up in here, right here with me." And they went back to the palace. And man, he had it made there at the palace. He had his own huge room with just racks and racks and racks of clothes. In the afternoon, he would go out and be trained by the king's people. And he would go out training to ride horses and training him in all the ways it takes to be a king. One of the servants got curious because every morning when that little boy would come down those brilliant marble steps to the giant breakfast area there, he would be crying. And this servant was like, "Why is he crying? Why is he crying? How come every morning he comes down and he cries?" And so he asked the young boy who's going to be the prince, the king one day. He said, "Hey, you got it made, man. You got the greatest life in the world. You got all this money one day. All this land's going to be yours, and this castle's going to be yours. And you have all these things, materialistic things that you can imagine. Why are you crying when you come down the steps in the morning?" And the little boy said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Tomorrow morning when you wake me up, just stick around and watch." The next morning, the servant came up and knocked on the door and said, "Your Majesty, it's time to get up. It's time to get up." And he looked, he just cracked the door a bit and watched. And the little boy got up. And before he went over to the long row of royal clothes to wear, he went over to one of the dressers. And the servant watched as he opened that dresser and he pulled out the dresser drawer. And inside were some old, muddy, ragged clothes. And he took them out and he held them up to him. And he looked in the mirror and he just started crying. He carefully took them and folded them back up and put them back in the drawer. Put on his incredible, nice clothes from the other side. Put them on and he came down the steps for breakfast. And the servant said, "I still don't quite understand. Why do you do that every day? Why do you put those old clothes on before you come down the stairs?" He said, "Well, listen, here's the deal. One day all this is going to be mine. One day this castle, everything, all the money, the wealth will be mine." He said, "But the reason I put on those old dirty clothes every morning is because those are the clothes that the king found me in. Those are the clothes I was wearing when the king came and he adopted me. And I don't ever want to forget what the king has done for me. I don't ever want to forget that he took me out of the mud and the mire and he brought me, he adopted me as his child. Now I'm a child of the king. And I never want to forget that. I always want to be grateful and thankful because of what the king has done for me." And today I want to just say to you and to myself that the King Jesus came one day and he found us in the mud of sin. He found us in the mire of sin. And he took us out of that and he adopted us. And one day we will live with him in a beautiful place called heaven. And I don't ever want to get over that, do you? I don't ever want to get over the fact that Jesus rescued me. He pulled me out of that and he adopted me. And everything I have one day, everything he has one day will be mine. I'm a child of the King. And so I just want to encourage you this Thanksgiving weekend, and really for the rest of the year, be a 10%er. Don't be part of that 9 that just rushes off and doesn't take time to stop and thank Jesus for his blessings. Be part of that 10% that comes back and every day gets on your knees and says, "Jesus, thank you for your blessings on me. Jesus, this burden I'm carrying right now, this illness, this struggle that I'm carrying, even though I don't know it's not the best thing, something good's going to come out of it. And I thank you, not for the circumstance, but I thank you for how you're going to take it and something good's going to come from it. And then, God, I thank you for your precious blood that you shed on the cross so I could have eternal life. Thank you for adopting me as your child." So be thankful to God for his blessings. Be thankful for his burdens. Be thankful for the precious blood of Jesus. who died on the cross for our sins. Be a 10 percenter.